Ready to go?
Yep.
Alright, let's just fire it off. Here we go. 849, right? Yes. No, it's 849. 879. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Alright, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Yeah, I gotta put on my good sweatpants.
Big O! Showtime!
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the show link, go direct to DLNTS.org. And I see channels at LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 879 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
How you doing?
We have Joel.
Good evening.
And we have Joe.
Here again.
And
yay.
Yeah, so did you want to continue talking about what you were talking about when you were
playing? Yeah,
go ahead.
Continue. Go for it, Joe.
So this PSP holder that kind of gives it some handles on the side to hopefully make it a little less
love handles
holding it. Yeah, essentially. The problem with it is that it's a fairly narrow print because of the size of my print bed, but it's also very tall, and it's just like super hard to keep that kind of print on the print bed and printing properly. So I also had to increase the size of the brim to hold it down a little bit. I can still see where it's kind of lifted off that brim just a touch, so I'm really hoping that it'll still hold the PSP properly. But I guess it also is far enough along in the print that even if it died right this second, I'd still be able to use it.
See, I like those kinds. It's like I designed the I have one of those members mark basically the copy of the Yeti tumbler, you know? And I made a handle for it, and I'm trying to figure out why it didn't. So I printed the same model twice, all right? And this is back when I had the very first 3D printer I ever played with, which was a Wanho i6 that I had to send back, you know, the big one. For some reason, like the last layer and maybe the last four layers didn't print. So the end of it, you could see the infill exposed, but it still worked.
Yeah, I guess this is technically my third attempt at printing it, because the first one, something happened with my printer, and it just, right from the beginning, started printing in midair and making spaghetti.
But, you have to skip the layer.
It skipped several layers. I mean, it
several
was like
layers,
middle
yeah.
of the print bed. Yeah. Mid-height is basically where it started. So I don't know why that happened, but I restarted the exact same print and it just kicked off right. But I think if I do this again, I'm not going to print this in PETG, not the tall, thin prints. I think I'm just going to use PLA for that type of print. Not because I think it's better, but because I know that it's a whole lot easier to print with. And I'm sure as shit not going to do it in ABS.
Yeah. Yep. That goes where to, I have to think if I want to buy another printer, if I bought the same one,
The only thing to buy right now for printers, if you're looking for something sub $300, is the Ender 3V2.
Yeah, well, if you want the Ender 3. But all I'm saying is if I bought the exact same one, like if I bought another CR10 Mini, which I'd consider, But if I had the exact same printer that I have, then this one of them I would the newer one I'd probably keep like it is, or maybe upgrade some of the parts on it like I've done this one. But then I would probably put on a fatter nozzle on one of them. So put like a .8 or something like that. That way I can use it for the larger prints.
That's what's nice. They're all interchangeable. So if I want to put a .8, correct. I have a .8. I think I have a .1 somewhere. I can put that on my printer if I want to.
Right. One of the reasons why I would consider doing a second one and doing it that way. Right now I'd stick to .4 unless I'm really desperate to make something really large. That I don't want to wait for the .4 to print. Then I would probably do it if I was really desperate, but I'm not that desperate. But but if I had two, what I'm afraid of is if I swapped it out, it would take me forever to dial it in, and then once I dial it in, I wouldn't want to take it off. You know what I mean?
You dial it in software, so all you got to do is save your settings somewhere. So
Well, yes and no though, because the East. Because of the fatter nozzle, where before you took the .8 off or took the .4 off, and then reset them back because there'd be less. The .4 would have more pressure, so it may need more E steps. And once you have the bigger nozzle, it wouldn't have as much pressure, so you would have to lower the E steps. Otherwise, you'd be over extruding.
Right. And you also have to bump the temperature. But yeah, you could do that all from software. I mean,
right, all in the print, yes.
Right. You can change the flow rate.
Correct. But generally I don't, you know, so and most often the .4 is fine. You know, so I really, really want Naomi Wu's CR30. Which they are making, but it's not gonna be cheap. And that's the belt printer. So basically, print like if you had a whole bunch of things you wanted to print, and they were faster to print one off, like one at a time, then you could basically print one, and then it would move on down the belt, print another, move on down the belt, and then once the first one got off the end of the belt, it would pop off, and so on and so forth. So although I'd struggle on that one, you know, that's kind of very, you know, because if I'm going into something that's specialized, I'd probably be better off getting one of the resin printers to do smaller things. But that's enough 3D printing for the moment, unless you had more. You back in there, Joe?
Hold on. I'm working on it. But... Okay, I will log back in on that one in just a minute. But I got to fix the mic. Evidently, it's unplugged. So it was using the internal mic, so you could hear everything going on in the room.
Yuck.
But no, 3D printer wise, that's about it. Now, PSP wise, I'm really, really liking the one I fixed the other day. But, it's all set up. It's ready to go. I might change the shell out on it. And then I don't know. I haven't decided if I'm going to keep it, give it away, or as a birthday present or a Christmas present, or sell it. But, I ordered 6 more.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I ordered 2 more 1001s and 3 more 1001s and 3 more 3001s. So
nice.
Hopefully I can get them all fixed up, or at least most of them fixed up, and then custom firmware them and either sell them locally or break down finally and start selling crap on eBay. Got to pay for the habit.
Yep. Maybe you'll be the next Tronix fix.
Yeah, but well, older stuff. I would have actually have to start doing videos on it. Be the be the American My Mate Vince.
So, on the hardware news, we actually have a new Raspberry Pi device. Have you seen that yet, Dan? Probably not.
Is it the module?
Nope. The I'm Pi sorry, 400, I was muted there.
Is this the... Oh, God, what's it called? It's like a desktop Pi replacement? Or no, the Pi 400, yeah. Well,
yeah, it's basically they redid the Pi 4 into a board where all the ports were on one side, and when you buy it for $70, it comes in a special version of the Raspberry Pi Foundation keyboard. By the way, which is a nice keyboard. I have the keyboard. But so basically, it's very similar to how the computers that we had when we were kids.
Okay, you're kind of cutting out there.
Everything was in one box.
Okay, yeah, I saw the pictures of that. But how much is that? Like, how much is that going for?
The board plus keyboard without power supply or anything else is $70.
Okay, but is there new Pi hardware?
Actually, the Pi 400 is actually faster than the Pi 4.
Okay, so it's got a different processor, or...
I need to find out the specifics, but I think it runs at a higher clock speed by default.
Okay, so it's overclocked natively.
It's a faster Pi 4. CL has a built-in heatsink as well.
Built into a neat and portable keyboard.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, what I kind of hope is that they'll sell just the board itself and that others will make other keyboards. Like, for example, it'd be kind of cool to put this in a case that really looked like a Commodore 64 and had a Commodore 64-style keyboard.
That would be cool, and I would seriously consider buying one. But my question here is this just like the Pi tops that you see floating around of various types with a keyboard on it?
No, there's no LCD built into it. It's just a keyboard, so it has two micro HDMI ports. It has the 40-pin GPIO header on the back of the keyboard. It has a USB-C, a gigabit Ethernet, Bluetooth 5, dual band Wi-Fi, 4 gigs of LPDDR4 RAM. And let's see, it has the BCM 2711 quad-core Cortex A72 version 8, 64-bit system on a chip at 1.8 gig.
But what's the difference between this, other than the keyboard, obviously, and getting one of those Pi desktop conversion kits?
I think a big difference is just all the ports are on one side of the card.
Well, that's it. Pi conversion kits, some of those do that too.
Yeah, like you're looking at I'm trying to remember the Argon case.
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember what they're called. There are several of them out there. Right. But yeah,
the Argon case actually has like a plug-in board that'll plug into it and move all the ports to one side. Yeah. This just does that automatically.
Yeah, so. And honestly, I think the major difference is that this Raspberry Pi 400 is $70.
Yep, including the keyboard and because, for the
yeah. With normally, like the Pi is the 4 gig version is how much? 65, 75?
I thought it was 55.
Oh, maybe it is 55.
Yeah,
but then you have to buy the kit on top of it, and that's usually another $100.
No, if you buy there's a one other version of the Pi 400 that basically is the complete entire kit, which has the device, power supply, micro HDMI to HDMI cable, and a Pi Foundation mouse, and a book. a very thick book, it actually looks like. The guy over on explaining, on day one that it was available, they had, must have shipped it to several YouTubers, including the Christopher Burnett on Explaining Computers, and he's already had an unboxing on it. So, but, so basically, for the only real difference between what I have is that I think mine, because I don't overclock mine necessarily, but out of the box, mine runs a little slower than this. Very, very minimally slower. But it has the same amount of RAM as what I have. I have a Pi 4 with 4 gig. And then I have the, it's not a Pi Foundation LCD case, it's the Pi Foundation LCD. But I bought a case that that fits into. So basically, I have a full computer, including a display. The only thing I kind of really don't like about that thing is the 7-inch display is awfully tiny. I would love to have the same thing, but with like a 10-inch or an 11-inch screen. That would be awesome. But for now, it's fine, and I use it to play around with a lot of different Raspberry Pi images, including Ubuntu 2010, which I did load on it. The only thing I had to do, other than just installing other software, which I haven't really done yet, but the only thing I had to do to actually fix things on it was, out of the box, for whatever reason, they do not set a Wi-Fi region. So 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi does not work out of the box, but 2 gigahertz does. So all you had to do is you had to go into, I have to actually look it up, but you had to go into a file, add the US US code in there, which is US, save the file, reboot it, and then you have 5 gig Wi-Fi. So what if for whatever reason this default Ubuntu image doesn't have that, but it works. It works, but now, an interesting thing that I learned, I watched a couple videos within the last week on alternative OSs that you can run on the Raspberry Pi, other than just the, well, of course, most of them were various Linux distros. There's one Linux distro that's basically designed to look like...
Joe Mumler left channel and disconnected.
Kind of reminds me of what they used to do back in the XP days, in that the when you boot it up, it looks exactly like Windows XP. Raspbian XP, I think it was what it was called. So that was yeah, it's just another Linux distribution. But the one that kind of I found it kind of was kind of interesting was what I've always seen in noobs, never played around with it much, was called RiskOS. And us folks in the United States probably have no idea where that came from. And it actually came from the Acorn computers at the BBC. I think it was the BBC Acorn computer from the UK. Very similar to Amiga, I think. I haven't loaded it up and played around with it or not. But it's kind of interesting. So and there was a couple other ones. Like there was another one where I think it, once it booted, it basically would run the Atari ST OS called TOS on top of it, which was kind of interesting. So I'll have to find that video and shoot it to you guys because it was kind of a cool video. A bunch of different alternative OSs that I never knew about for the Raspberry Pi, which I found really interesting. So, of course,
yeah,
now
there's
I can
a bunch of them, but not yep. all of them have been optimized for the 4.
That yeah, there's that, and you know, and even somewhat to be just usable, you know, other than just curiosity, you know. So, like the RiskOS, I don't know what else would run on top of it.
Yeah.
But you know, but like the one that would run, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. It would basically run Atari TOS image on top of it. So I'm assuming it's probably like Linux based, running on maybe in QEMU or something like that. So it would emulate the Motorola 68000 that the Atari ST had in it. But anyway, but I kind of, you know, other than curiosity, you know, what are you going to use it for? You know, but of course, then there's another one on there too, and I can't, maybe it was the Raspbian XP. One of them, that the default image didn't just have the main OS, but it also had Kodi Bill Linton installed as well from the beginning, which I thought was kind of interesting. You know, that way you can use it for both media playing as well as doing your emulation thing or a video playing thing. But there's something else. I'm trying to remember what I was trying to think of. On a related note, I was trying to think, was it RetroPie? No.
Question. Does anybody know when the proposed release date for the Raspberry Pi 400 is?
It's out. It's out. Not only is it out, I think it's sold out already.
Or the full computer kit, too?
I think so. Because
it just says coming soon, and I don't see...
Okay.
I'm on their blog page. I could have sworn they said... I could have sworn there was a buy it now button.
Because every place I looked at it said buy it now is like pre-order.
Oh.
Oh, okay, man. That's what it is. Pre-ordering. Just the board that's in the keyboard would be really nice to have, because imagine the things that you could build with that and 3D print with that, too.
Click on the buy now and select model, US keyboard kit. No resellers for the product that match your selected criteria. No resellers. No resellers.
Check either Element 14 or New York Electronics. Huh.
UK keyboard kit. Rest of the world.
I do like the keyboard though, because I have the same keyboard. It's just the keyboard, and it's really nice. So.
United States. Okay, here we go. Maker Bright, Pi Shop, Micro Center. Micro Center sells it.
Micro Center, there you go.
Adafruit. Let's see if Micro Center, my local Micro Center, has any. $100, sold out.
Yep.
Coming soon. Available November 6th.
Yep. Gone. Deservedly so. I think it fills a hole that a lot of people were having. Oh, by the way, too, it's also the first Raspberry Pi out of the box that comes with a power off button. Technically, it's a two key combination power off button, but I don't care. That's kind of nice.
Well, this it looks like it comes with a Raspberry Pi.
Yes, it's yes.
So this is actually a unit. A case, yeah.
Yeah, it's everything. It's everything in it.
No, so it's showing a separate box for the Raspberry Pi. So it comes with a separate Raspberry Pi that I guess you're supposed to put in it. Maybe that's just the picture. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Christopher didn't... the explaining computer guy, he didn't actually tear his apart. When he did his unboxing, because I think I want to say he might have had to send his back, maybe, I don't know. But
it says it's a standard Raspberry Pi 4 Model B built into a keyboard.
Yep, that's what it is. Yep.
Features Bluetooth 5.0 and Wi-Fi for additional connectivity.
Yeah. I actually have a new device coming that will use Wi-Fi 6. Which is a new version of Wi-Fi.
Do you have a router that...
Not yet.
...puts out Wi-Fi 6?
Not yet. And Wi-Fi 6, actually, I read up on it a little bit. It doesn't necessarily mean you'll get... I mean, it's feasible that you could get higher throughput, but right now, I think it's early enough in the Wi-Fi 6 range that it's not guaranteed that you'll have faster speeds. Say it. It's an iPad. I got a new iPad Air coming. Just because I was debating between that and Samsung brought out their new A7 tablet. I think it's the A7.
I have no idea.
Yeah, basically, I think it's 12-inch tablet running octa-core. S7. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the actual name of it, but it's basically it's the latest version of their bigger Android tablet that has an S Pen and also has a 120 hertz display. And when you buy the external keyboard and dock it in an external keyboard, you can have it fire up the Samsung Dex right on the screen. So, which is interesting, but price-wise, it's actually more expensive than the iPad I bought.
Did you see that XDA phone?
XDA. XDA. Oh, I think I saw what is that the?
Yeah, they're putting out a phone that's that you can run. Or it's a Pro One X. Is XDA's first phone?
Okay, yeah,
and
yeah,
it can
yeah,
run
yeah.
Lineage. Out of
yeah,
the
Lineage.
Box. Ubuntu Touch.
Yes.
Probably a whole bunch of other ones, considering this is XDA, which
yep.
means it'll have an open bootloader, so you can make anything run on it.
Yes, I did see that.
Yeah, and the specs are very last year, but I think it was, a 7 or 8? You can get it on Indiegogo right now, but the super early bird is no longer available, which was $600. And then there's one for $639 with 8 gig of RAM and 256 gig internal. And then there's another with the same specs for $679. And then $649 for a 6 gig and 128 gig. And then another $719 for the 8x256. And then $819 with engraved for the 8x256. And then, yeah. And then the stuff that's sold out, the $499 super early bird special.
Interesting. Well,
it's decent prices. It's just, you know, last year's hardware. But hey, for what amounts to a phone that can run open source and you can put anything on, that's not a bad price. And it's got a physical keyboard for the people that like the whole physical keyboard thing.
That's like I was talking with a friend this week, and I thought, how cool would it be if either Motorola or somebody else would bring out basically modern version of the original Droid phone that was on Verizon with the slide-out keyboard, but on the bigger screen, still have a slide-out keyboard and modern hardware.
Well, that's basically this.
Yeah. Well, there's that Sony Ericsson one that was similar to that. Actually, reminding me more of the Scion portable computers that they had.
...2160x1080 screen. 6-inch AMOLED. I was looking for the processor. got to be listed here somewhere.
I remember when Sony Ericsson phones were the ones to have.
Yeah, and then they didn't change for like, what?
Years.
Five, six, I think it was eight different years in a row that they just basically put out the same phone, slightly updated, giant bezels, and didn't change anything.
One I always wanted back in the day was the T610 that was really tiny. Remember that?
No.
Of course, nobody remembers that because back in 2003, 17 years ago.
I think in 2003 I was probably still using a flip phone.
We all were. I'm sure I had a Nextel phone at that time. The kind with the actual push button, remember those?
Yeah.
Of course, I think back then was when Dan was working at the school, and I don't think they ever paid for a phone for you, did they?
Dan keeps muting himself and forgetting. Okay.
So,
currently it's Android Lineage and Ubuntu Touch that they have running on it. And they do show a picture of it hooked to a monitor showing an Ubuntu desktop.
Nice.
So convergence is there for that one. I know that the Ubuntu Touch doesn't run everything that, you know, a regular average Ubuntu computer could, but pretty close.
The Sony Ericsson Vio smartphone that never came to be, that was the one I was thinking of.
Yeah. Well, then they had the Ericsson Play, which was way too much of a gimmick and didn't actually do anything. But did look exactly like the PSP Go.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I remember that one. The little slider computer thing. It was very similar to the Nokia N810.
Yeah. Except it was licensed by PlayStation, so they ported a couple of PlayStation games over to it, and that was it.
Yep.
And you could do some old school emulation, but you couldn't play regular PSP games on it.
Yep. Now, what makes me wonder, the folks at the arcade went up, they're kickstarting the Infinity Table. We talked a little bit about it last week. Back then, it was mostly just games that were board games, like Monopoly and stuff like that. Ticket to Ride, I think, was also one of the games as well. That'll be an outstanding device for that. But they've also recently just started adding arcade games, like Atari-licensed Asteroids and Space Invaders, I think, was also included in that. And Super Breakout, and it keeps making me wonder. I'm wondering if that table actually has like a USB port on it so that you can plug controllers into it, because that would be awful to play Space Invaders on a touchscreen. Trust me, I've tried it.
Yeah, that would be pretty bad.
I wonder if they might go the route of Bluetooth controller.
Or that, yeah, actually, that's an even better idea, yeah. Well, and then can you tilt it up, too, so that it's more viewable when you're playing the traditional arcade-style games, you know? Because you basically have to stand up to see the screen if you're looking at a table, you know? Or you would just have to make sure that your chair is just the right distance so that you can still see the screen right. So, I don't know. It seems awfully expensive for all I would do with it, which is like, if I'm spending that much money, I want to get like the Arcade Legends or something like that. A home gym.
Well, how much different would that be playing those games like that on the Infinity table compared to back in the day when you used to have the table?
Well, the cocktail table, yeah.
Yeah, they used to have them in like, you go Pizza Hut, yeah, and sit down and play them like that.
Well, actually, what would be nice is they put just the standard arcade controllers in the exact same spot at the cocktail tables, and then it would make a lot of sense. Like, yeah, you know, the Pac-Man ones. So,
I take it that's going to be something that they're going to offer games to play on there that you can purchase, yeah, aren't they?
It feels like to me like it's a large Android device almost, you know?
Right. Which maybe surprises Android, me. But it kind of surprises me that none of these one-up devices has that capability, does it?
What?
Well, the Arcade Legends machine from At Games does.
Where you can just slide it out and put in a new one?
No, it has Wi-Fi built into it. You can just download new games.
Well, but I know have, like, a lot of people with the Arcade One, or the one-up arcades, have done the modification just to put a Raspberry Pi in the damn thing.
They should just make a case for the Raspberry Pi that is that.
I'm sure somebody does. It's just going to be way too expensive.
Right. I mean, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, now granted, I don't think I would ever buy one, but if I was really interested in building an arcade cabinet and doing that, I would.
It's not like you got a lot of room where you live either.
Well, yeah. Well, not just that. I mean, like, all these devices like that that come out are like, hey, that's pretty cool, but for $60 or $120, whatever they're charging you for it, for the handful of games that come on it, and you can't add more to it, and you can't even buy more to add to it.
It's, well, like,
what do you mean, well?
Well, they do make replaceable controls. Like, you can switch out the entire control structure on the arcade one-ups. So I would assume that you should be able to swap out the game as well. I mean, they actually sell pre-built where you can put in different controls.
Well, what I'm saying, Joe, is if you have a, let's just say, Street Fighter Alpha style setup, you could pretty much play almost any arcade game. You have the joystick and you have enough buttons to pretty much play any arcade game. Why aren't they like
making it easier to put in a Raspberry Pi or just switch out the game?
Or just sell you the damn arcade cabinet and have a little store in there. And say, okay, oh, I want to, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Why aren't they doing that?
Make it have like a slot for Sega, except they make their own separate games and you just pull out the slot and slide a new one.
But why would you even have to do that?
So that way they can sell you cartridges.
I just meant, like the Nintendo eShop or the PlayStation Store or any, you pick the store on there.
I still think it would be cool to have cartridges.
I don't disagree.
It's like the Retron 5. Well, it's like the Retron 5. Have you seen the Retron 5, Joe?
No, I haven't.
It's basically an emulation thing where basically you do just that. It has 5 slots for various game cartridges from SNES to NES to Game Boy, and I think it does Genesis cartridges as well. The only thing that I've heard about the Retron 5 is that the default controller that it comes with sucks.
That looks like it sucks.
Yeah,
it looks like it's wireless. Retron RETRON 5. It looks like they called up ColecoVision and asked them if they could build an Intellivision controller. And the ColecoVision said, sure, why not? That seems terrible. Yeah. I wonder if you could
maybe I might get the Hyperkin Retron 5. Actually, maybe I might get one of those. But like I said, at least you can plug in a regular controller. Like, you can plug in a Genesis controller.
I'd still have to build my own cabinet for that.
This plays a Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color, Game Boy, Super NES, NES, Super Famicom, Famicom, Genesis, Mega Drive, and Sega Master System.
Interesting.
All in one box for $150. But like I said, the default controller is lousy. And I've also heard that sometimes getting games in and out of it, because the connectors on the Retron 5 are like brand new when compared to Genesis or Nintendo slots. So they grab very well, and sometimes too well, in that you can't get your cartridge out. I learned that from the YouTube channel Metal Jesus Rocks.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's probably breaking patents and stuff like this for this device.
Well, for the Retron 5? No, it's emulation.
That's not even emulation. If it's holding their cartridges, that's not emulation.
Right, but I'm wondering, though, because I'm looking at this and saying, okay, so it's using the actual cartridges. Would Nintendo come after this company and say, no, you can't be distributing this because that's our property?
Nintendo doesn't care because it takes hardware. The old cartridges. You know, if it took the Switch games, they would care. But
yeah, that's a weird question. If the because all the games are still licensed, but is the hardware still licensed?
You know, I don't see Nintendo putting out any Nintendo 64s where you can plug cartridges in. I mean, Nintendo NESs or anything like that you can plug cartridges in anymore.
They're not going to put out the NES, the SNES, the Super Famicom, the GBA.
They also have the Retron 2, which only plays NES and Super Famicom. And SNES, I think. But it's like, these things, I think, like I said, they're getting around with it, and that they're basically just emulating the hardware. That's all. Which is already being done in software with various emulation software out there, like on Android and so on and so forth, as well as I think a multi-arcade machine emulator emulates a lot of other things, like emulate Atari System 1 and 2, which are arcade systems. But in fact, I actually got to record a show for this weekend yet, because I just realized that what I tend to do with my show is I tend to record more than one at once and then schedule them.
I had somebody asking on one of my other shows if you had an RSS set up yet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the anchor feed has it, isn't it?
And get on the show Friday and mention it.
Okay. I don't know if I can. Fridays are usually busy after work, but
it's late. You should be done with work by then, or at least for part of it.
Well, I gotta go to the store, though. I usually do on Fridays. Got to get the food. But there was another emulation thing I saw that was interesting. It's one of those things I see in an ad on Facebook. Ugh.
Ads.
Yeah.
Was this an emulation device, you said?
Yeah, it was. And it kind of looked like an old 70s style console. Like, almost like with the faux wood.
Oh, I think I know what you're... I've seen stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the name of it was. Dang it.
Now, you know what? The new Atari VCS comes out this month.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I don't think I would buy
How many delays?
Right. I don't think I would buy it myself. But I wonder how far it goes with letting... What it lets you actually do on it. Or whether it's fully owned. Right.
See, and that's the other thing, too. It's supposed to be running Linux. I remember that. But what can... is it only Atari old school games, or are they bringing out new games too? I don't know.
Well, they said that there's supposed to be some new games coming out that'll run on it. I'm wondering if they made specifically for this, or whether it just has the ability to, like, I don't know, run some Steam games or something.
Steam games. AtariVCS.com.
I don't know. Atari's modern controller could give the that Retron a run for its money, it looks like. What were you going to say, Joel?
I want to say the VCS 800. Well, see, they have the joystick, which looks like a better version of the old classic one that we'd always break. But then they have the modern controller. It looks a little bit like an Xbox controller.
You know, this would be awesome if it had the Atari games in addition to the arcade versions. Because who really wants to play the Atari version of Tempest, 2600 version of Tempest?
Everybody
who had an Atari 2600. that's like you know, every once in a while I'll be talking to someone and I say, "Who wants to play the Atari 2600 version of Pac-Man?" And I'll actually have people that say they want to, and I'm like, "Are you nuts? I'd rather play the original arcade." But see, now this comes with a Ryzen chip in it with Radeon graphics. So otherwise, it's not cheap.
Has 32 gig eMMC internal, unlimited external USB hard drive stick support, 8 gigabytes of RAM.
It is up for pre-order finally, but when will you get it? That's the thing.
For $389.
What's displayed? Discover new and classic games on Atari's new open platform powered by AMD Ryzen with Radeon graphics technology. You can stream your favorite web-based streaming videos and entertainment. Play games at up to 4K. Develop new TV-based games for yourself, your family. Yeah, who's going to do it for yourself or your family? Somebody might, but I'm not. Sounds like work to me, right, Dan? Now, granted, that's going to be for the open source folks can play.
And you know what? Here I am, why don't they make a system where you could just do all this stuff? And here it probably is. And it's $400. And it plays the Atari 2600 game collection. And I'm like, you can do the same thing on a Raspberry Pi.
But you know what? See, it's in three colors.
That does it.
Yeah, right. Carbon gold, onyx, which is basically black, and walnut, black walnut, which is really, to me, the only one I want. because it has that little piece of faux wood on it.
Yeah, the little really... strip. Instead of the one that's red, it's the little...
Right, or black. Well, actually, they don't have a red one.
Well, wait, what's... At least is that yet. Just the back of it that's red?
It's the back maybe, of it that's red, maybe, I think, maybe yeah.
All of it. I don't know, I don't see the gold. Well, like, where's the picture of the gold one?
If you go down to where it says pre-order from Atari...
How far down? Oh, okay. All right.
You'll see three squares next to each other, and you click on each one, and the console will change color. It's basically just a strip in the front.
Okay.
The rest of it's black. I don't know what the... I guess the back is probably red, but not that you... Who gives a shit what color the back is? I sure don't. Well, although, as I'm getting older, the one thing that I... that bugs the ever-living crap out of me when you buy, like, a new TV or a new set-top box of some sort is when you're trying to hook it up, and the back of it does have labels, but the labels are in raised text that are the same color as the plastic, which means my old-ass eyes can't freaking figure out which one's which. Unless it's by shape. Now, if it's by shape, you know, like, you know, I can tell what an HDMI port looks like, even with my shitty eyes. But if I'm looking like at three RCA connectors and they're not color coded, and I can't read what the line in says or something like that, I'm like, oh Lord. Contrast, folks. That's why you have. that's why it's like I remember like the when all the programming software, especially with if you ever bought like Borland Turbo C or Pascal. I had to do Pascal, but then I think you also had like a Word Perfect and stuff like that. And back then, the popular color combo was either blue and yellow or blue and white, with the background being blue and the text being white. I know that's blue and white, I think, was what the editor in Turbo C was back in the day. God, I'm old. It's like, who's this talking with Chuck Payne? Chuck Pup? On Facebook. I'm friends with him on Facebook. Fact, he started a new group on small board computer modding that I'm a part of on Facebook. Haven't posted anything or read much out of it yet because I've been busy. But when we were talking about something. Oh, no. We were talking about the Raspberry 400 and how much it reminded us of, you know, like the Atari 800s and the Commodore 64 and probably to a lesser extent the TI-99, which... Yeah, I'm trying to think. If I ever came across a TI-99 in good condition, would I buy it? The 99M4A? Would they even go for it? I don't know. I don't know.
I used to play the football game.
But you see, the thing I'm afraid of is if I bought one of those, I'd also go on the hunt for the PEB, which is the expandability module that they had that almost nobody that you know of had, unless they were rich.
The rich looks friend, like
the rich friend had Apple.
Looks like a known working one runs for about $300, $200, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Then if you don't know if it's working or not because they haven't hooked it up to test it, it's like about $50.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. Save your money, go out and get an emulator, poke around on that and see if you really want to get back into it before you buy it.
That's what the 500 is for.
Yeah, most likely you're just going to buy it and put it up on a shelf somewhere and show it off every now and again, so why right. buy a working one?
Right.
Because I have one right here, and I'm like, I should hook it up again, and then I played around it on the emulator, and I was like, I don't need to hook it up now.
You don't want to play Hunt the Wumpus that bad.
I don't want to go back to programming on that.
It was fun, but
where it had only capital letters.
Yeah. Okay, I got a question here. Have any of you ever heard of AntStream? AntStream?
No.
I have not.
Neither have I. And I just, like, this was off the Atari Arcade, Atari VCS. And I was like, I wonder. And all this stuff at the time, we're talking about a service that lets you play old arcade games and stuff. Here's AntStream. It is arcade games online. It's 1,000+ arcade games from the 80s and computer games from the 80s.
There's another website that lets you do it for free.
Right. Well, if you're talking
archive.org.
About...
Archive.org.
Yeah, archive.org is awesome.
Have you ever played some
awesome.
Of the stuff on archive.org?
Yeah, but when I I'm playing the really, really old stuff, like early Atari stuff.
That's hard to play on well, you can get, there is a USB variant of the old school Atari one button joystick that you can find, but it's usually crap.
Yeah. But it's a joystick and a single button.
True.
I'm just saying, if you were like really into this and wanted to try some of this stuff out and didn't want to go the
but it's $10 a month. Excuse me. It's £10 a month.
Well, you
£10 a month.
$9.99. Yeah. If you don't want to go the route where you could just get the ROMs yourself and run it, or go over to arcade, Internet Arcade, archive.org. There is something like this.
You know what? In what? 6 months, the Raspberry Pi would pay itself off?
Yep. I'd just buy a Pi and get the... joysticks that hook up to that.
I mean, look at the obvious thing here, Joe. If you're playing this on a computer, you already have what you need to play this without paying for it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're right.
You have a cell phone in your hand.
Right. It would pay itself off.
Well, that's like, there is like, it's actually pretty decent, too. On the Android App Store, there is a version of Missile Command. It's actually pretty nifty. It actually plays pretty nice on a touchscreen because you basically just tap where you want the missile to go. It's not moving a trackball around. But
isn't there an emulation of RetroArch that runs on Android?
Well, you can just run RetroPie on a 4, but...
No, I'm saying, okay, there is RetroArch.
Right.
Compatible with all of your devices that you can install onto your phone. And if you can install RetroArch and it has all of the emulators built in and all you got to do is toss ROMs onto it, then you don't even need to buy a Pi.
But then, now I've been meaning to ask you, Dan, how much have you played with that little emulator that you got, that little handheld thing?
Since I talked about it on the show?
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
What I thought.
I picked it up the other day, and I was like, I don't have the time to play this right now.
Right. See, for me, it's like, I was incensed when the Charlie Brown's holiday specials for Apple TV Plus only. So I went and I bought the Blu-rays on Amazon, so I've got those now. But it's like, okay, when VCRs were a thing, there was many friends I know that would just buy video after video after video, and they have all these boxes and shelves full of all these videos and stuff. And that's just great, you know. But I never would buy, like, there's only certain things, and this is the way it was on the VCR, VHS, way it was on DVD, and the same thing with Blu-ray. If it's something I'm going to watch once a year, like these Peanuts specials, yep, I'm going to buy it.
Like, you know, the what specials?
The Peanuts holiday specials. Charlie Brown specials.
Okay, I did not hear you right the first time.
Yeah. Yes. So that's why I'll buy. So So, like, for example, would I want a do-it-all emulation box that plays systems I never owned? Or would I rather just have a system that I did own and make it work on a modern TV, like an Atari 800 XL? That way I can just buy the cartridge, slam it in, and I'm good to go.
Well, with PSP, I've been making sure, well, I've been doing emulation for 30 to 45 minutes a day. Lately, it's been Super Mario Brothers 3, but I switched from the NES version to the SNES Mario All-Stars version just because the colors are better. But yeah, right. I do get some play in on that almost every day.
But one of the issues with emulation is sometimes the emulation will not be like what you played when you were a kid. Good example of that is the Sega Genesis, which is what it was called here in the States, or the Mega Drive, which is what it was called in the UK and pretty much the rest of the world. Our version of Sonic the Hedgehog, pretty much, you know, it looks like the any other version, but it sounds different because of the difference between NTSC and PAL. In fact, I think it runs, in one place it runs faster. So, like, when you emulate that game, what is the emulation going to render it as? Is it going to render it like it did in the US, or is it going to render it and play it like it did in the UK? I don't know. And that's one thing that, like, and you learn that kind of stupid crap when you watch Ashens on YouTube. He reviews game hardware too and emulation boxes. So, and that's one thing that he's frequently noticed, the difference between the Genesis version of Sonic and the European version of it. Not to mention the fact that sometimes games are called different names. There was a really good documentary on YouTube about Super Mario and how it rose to fame, and how that the actual second version of Super Mario World was basically just add on. Basically, this looked like the exact same game first, but was much harder. And that's the Japanese version that was on the Super Famicom, all right. But in the United States, the Super Mario 2 that we know was Doku Doku, oh shoot, I forget what the name of it was. There, I'm looking it up now.
I was wondering if we lost you.
Nope, I'm here. I was looking it up. Still am. But it was a completely different game.
I'm disconnected.
Yumi Koju Doki Doki Panic is what it was. That was the Japanese version. So they took that game that was happened to be developed also by, I think it's developed by some of the same developers that developed the original one. So they took that game, reskinned it with Mario, and that's how we have Super Mario Brothers 2 here in the States, and it was completely different than the original Super Mario Brothers 2, which is basically just a harder version of Super Mario Brothers in Japan. And if you have an SNES Mini, or actually, no, not the SNES Mini, the SNES Mini, you can play the actual Super Mario Brothers 2 that was in Japan, but here I think they called it The Lost Levels or something like that.
Right.
So, but there's a ton of stuff on YouTube that you can watch like that. On the old 80s consoles.
Did Joe get bumped off? No, I'm still here. Oh.
No, he's still here. He's just quiet.
I have a question. Off. Has anybody used RetroArch?
RetroArch.
Yeah, so on the Pi, RetroPi, and Batacera basically uses a lightly skinned version of RetroArch.
Oh, because I'm like, man, their website is really nice, and their documentation seems pretty good. I guess just this is all I've just dabbled looking into it. I guess you just have to go out and get the compatible old libraries and everything like you do everything else. So that you can't get them from the website, right?
Yeah, the only things that you have to go get is ROMs, except for, what is it, Neo Geo? Oh, yeah, Neo Geo and, like, PS1. Those you have to get the, what is it, the bootloaders?
Oh, so it already has all these libraries built into it?
No, has the emulators. The emulators are built in, yeah.
Because he says getting started with arcade emulation is like...
It's the BIOSes. Okay, it's the BIOS for Neo Geo and the BIOS for PlayStation 1 that you got to get.
Okay, because it says emulator and then require ROM version, I guess...
Yeah, you just got to get the ROMs.
Oh, so that's all... Oh. You know, the only other negative about it was dead easy to use.
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
Yep, it is.
Most of them come with Doom built in, too.
There you go. Yeah, the only thing about emulation, though, is trying to find the right kind of controller to use.
You just don't use your keyboard?
It's not as good, though. And a lot of times it messes up.
Right.
But it's pretty easy. I mean, you can buy USB NES. You can buy Super NES.
Right.
The Logitech. That's true. What's that Logitech controller?
Gamepad.
PlayStation 10? Style.
Yeah, I know. And I had one at one point, and I got rid of it. I'm probably kind of shooting myself a little bit.
I think I have one somewhere. I would just have to find it. I have a bunch of controllers. I mean, like the Xbox One controller works just fine.
Right. Bluetooth, I think, right?
Oh, the F series, the F310, the F710, the 510.
Yeah, I had that one, one of those. And the only thing is you know, like, okay, you want to play, like, here's a good example of a game I'd want to play in emulation just cuz it's probably easier to get it up and running on emulation. Star Raiders for the Atari 800XL.
I just found my Atari cartridge of Star Raiders.
Right.
Granted, my old roommate stepped on my Atari 600.
Man.
He's not my roommate anymore.
But yeah, playing that on that Logitech gamepad is difficult.
That is difficult.
It's not that hard of a game, to be honest.
It's basically an open game, though.
Right.
I mean, for back then, and a lot of times, not a whole lot is going on. You're doing a whole lot of flying in nowhere.
Yeah. That's why you have to look at your radar. But actually, that's an interesting tidbit. Star Raiders 2 for the Atari 8-bit consoles was originally supposed to be The Last Starfighter.
That's not surprising.
If you look at the fighters in Star Raiders 2, they look like Conan Deck fighters. Kind of. Not really, but you know. It was a port, you know. It's what we had and we liked it, right?
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie.
That is a great movie. I'm going to watch it again.
I'm going to have to.
They keep batting about whether they're going to do a
blah, blah, blah.
Sequel.
They're not doing a second one.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a, what was I watching the other day on YouTube? I found, I was watching, crap, what was it?
I wouldn't mind seeing a reboot, though.
Right.
Not a sequel, but like a reboot.
Restart, yeah. Like make it like instead of a arcade game. It's a internet connected console.
Right, right.
But
and the other thing about the Logitech F310, if you're looking online, you're not going to find it for much less than $10. But if you can find it in like a Goodwill or a consignment shop, yeah, $3 to $5.
Right. What freaking? I'm trying to remember what the was it a movie or what was it? I don't know.
Wait, what are you talking? What was what?
Well, was oh, I know what it was. 10 things you didn't know about the movie Interspace.
Wow.
There's been a lot of those 10 things you didn't know about.
Or no, wait, not that one. It was the not that one. It was the same movie, but it was Interspace, the best movie you never saw. And it was talking about how it was actually a commercial. I did too, and I liked it. But they said it was a commercial failure.
That was the one with Rick Moranis, isn't it? Right.
No, it had Martin Short. Yeah, Martin Short.
Martin Short, yeah.
And Randy Quaid. Not Randy Quaid.
Oh, yeah. What am I thinking of?
Yeah, not Randy Quaid. Who was it?
You're thinking Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh. No.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're right there.
Same concept. Same concept. It was his brother. I know that
Dennis
much.
Quaid, Martin Short.
Dennis
yeah,
Quaid,
Ryan.
That's it. Yep, Dennis Quaid, Martin Short, Meg Ryan, and what's-his-face that was that was the bad guy in UHF, played the bad guy in this movie, and then the guy from Alien, I think, who played the dude with the he had the arm that you could put the propane blowtorch on.
From Alien?
A long time since I saw that movie. Either yep. One of those movies.
Yeah, and him. Yeah, listen to the show, and you haven't seen that movie. It's basically talks about miniaturization. They shrunk an Air Force. Well, actually, it was a Marine. I think he was a naval aviator. He put him in a pod and shrunk him down, and then he was supposed to be injected into a rabbit, but some arm dealers stole the chip and got the syringe with him. They didn't get the syringe with him in it. They chased the guy, and the guy injected it into Martin Short at the grocery store. And it's funny. I love that movie.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
But it reminds me of another star from past years. The first James Bond, Sean Connery, has passed, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
He 90 years old.
He had a good life, though, huh?
Mm-hmm. And what's funny is my favorite movie with him in actually wasn't an 80s film, and it wasn't a James Bond film. It was The Hunt for Red October.
What? It wasn't Highlander?
You were
going to
say The Rock.
Highlander. That was an awful movie, dude.
Highlander 2.
Highlander 1 was just fine. Yeah, right? Highlander 1 was just fine. Highlander 2 screwed it all up.
But
Highlander 6 and 7 screwed it up more.
But that had that one. Hunt for Red October was such a good movie, though. And I rented it over the weekend, and I watched it. It was a good movie. That was actually, you know what, and that's a really interesting tidbit, is that's the first Jack Ryan movie.
Yeah.
Because that was the what's his face? Playing him. Oh crap, I can't remember.
Well, it wasn't Sean Connery.
No. No, he's the guy who did he's the guy who does the Trump imitations on SNL now. I don't remember.
Are you looking for The Hunt for Red October?
Yeah.
Who played
Jack Ryan.
Alec Baldwin.
That's it, Alec Baldwin, yeah.
I don't,
he was a lot skinnier.
I can't remember the last time. I can't remember seeing the last time I saw Red Hunt for Red October. It had to be way back.
Hot left channel and disconnected.
HBO.
And Sam Neill played the XO on the Russian sub. And Tim Curry was the doctor on the sub.
Another doctor.
Yep. And then Gerald Jones was an admiral at the CIA, and Fred Thompson was a carrier captain. And I'm trying to remember, because there's a lot of people in that movie that we've seen before. And then I ran into on Peacock Sequest DSV.
Yeah.
The whole series is actually on the Peacock network, streaming network, which I like that there's a free option on that. Plays commercials, and I don't care. And even better, Star Trek Discovery Season 3 has started.
Ooh, Mandalorian Season 2 has started.
Yes, that too. I gotta watch that. I haven't watched it yet.
It's good, the first episode. I don't want to get too spoilery.
Of Season 2 or the first episode of Season 1?
Season 2 of Mandalorian.
You know what? I gotta watch that. Maybe I'll watch that this week. I still haven't watched
it. Have you watched any of The Mandalorian?
I don't watch anything. The only thing I watched on Disney
Channel... It's the best Star Wars since...
Yeah, it's pretty damn good.
Star Wars!
I want to watch it.
It's way better than any of the sequels.
I'm sure it is.
Which is sad.
You know, I've just been so freaking over the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. I'm over the movies.
Sequels weren't that great.
I am completely over the movies. I have no desire for them, but I will watch Mandalorian.
Yeah, Mandalorian's good.
I know. Everybody says it's really good. I had to check it out. Oh, here we go again.
Furnace?
Yeah. Well, next week they're coming to inspect the HVAC. So I get when I tell them about this again, you know, like, well, if it's not blowing up, you know, we're not going to worry about it. And speaking of blowing up, I was going to, all right, will you finish, Joe?
Sure, go for it.
So it got, like, after the last show, but the show before when I was on, it got so bad that the circuit breaker was, like, tripping two or three times a day.
Oh no.
Like, and so the nail in the coffin was, like, I had unplugged everything I could think of possibly causing this and still had, and it was working fine for like 2 days. I forget what, and then it started back up again. And so the one night it happened like three times in a row. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And my wife came downstairs and she's like, she was over in the kitchen and she's like, I smell something burning. And.
Oh no.
Yeah. So I'm like, I kind of faintly smell that. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Oh, I know what it was. She had come downstairs like right after I had done the last thing that I could think of for this, and it was to just get rid of the UPS. I thought maybe it's got to be the UPS going bad. And sure enough,
that,
like, when she came downstairs in the kitchen, she said, I smell something burning, like electrical burning. And I said, come on down here and smell this. And I picked up the UPS and I stuck it in her nose and said, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, because I could smell it too, but sometimes I have a hard time. Like, it doesn't smell that strong to me as it does to somebody else. But I don't know.
Getting older, you sat in the room for long.
It's just like, I'm like, I smell it, but I'm like, is it really? Or am I just, is it just like, but no. And when she verified it, and I'm like, yeah, okay. So now the odd thing was it ran perfectly for a while, but then it tripped once in like the past 2 weeks again since I did this. And I'm like, I'm still wondering if there's something else here, but once compared to like, once a day at least is a big improvement. So now I have to get another UPS and replace it.
That has me thinking. I've been debating whether I want to get one. And at least that shut off. Jesus, that was loud.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, it's all right. Happens. But
getting cooler months these days. But no, you were, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It was 70 degrees in Columbus today. That was interesting, because the one thing I thought about doing is getting maybe, well, probably not here. Because I think what I'd like to do is set it up such that my internet hardware, be it the router and the modem or whatever, and my laptop are all on the UPS, and I can't really do that here. So
have it all on a UPS?
Well, yeah, because it's in two separate rooms.
Oh, yeah. Well, you just buy two UPSs, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Or just run a long extension cord.
Don't think I haven't thought about that. But, so because, like, when I do the house, everything, I'm going to have them wire the cable. Because really, the only place I need cable is my office. And I am going back to cable. Because for the same price that I pay here for shitty AT&T DSL, I can get a gig. It's like, yes, please. I mean, I'll say this. 50 megabit down has been working. I haven't had a problem with work at all. For the most part. You know, occasional things. One thing I noticed, too, and this is probably, you know, I talked about Wi-Fi 6 a little bit. I'm starting to think, because I'm trying to think, I had my current router for at least since 2016, so I've had it for about 4 years now. It's probably 5 years old, because it was one of the first clients I did a new installation in the orientation of the installation. Over the prep call, it was over a router, and I kept cutting out. And so then I figured out it was my router at the time, so we upgraded it to my current Asus one. So the new one, I'm going to probably make sure that if I buy one, I'm going to probably make sure it has Wi-Fi 6 in it at least, just because my iPad Air has it once it finally gets here. But I'm debating too. Also, I'm probably not gonna buy any new network hardware until we move, because it doesn't make sense to buy it here. Because what I'm probably gonna consider is buying my own modem as well.
Oh, we actually picked on you enough that you want to get your own modem?
No, I just thought about it. You know, I wouldn't save that much on the bill, but. You know, it's like,
at least owning your own is also nice, because, you know, you can do whatever the hell you want to.
Well, yeah, there's that, as well as if I decide to switch providers, I can just keep it and stick it in the closet. And then if I switch back, I have it already, you know, so I don't have to worry about taking it back. Like, once I'm done with AT&T, I'll have to take it back to AT&T. It's like, or send it back to AT&T. It's just like, hassle. You know,
fiber.
I do too, but they don't have it anywhere in Ohio. I mean, I guess technically gig would be close enough, but so. Oh, that's the other thing. The other thing about my house, I think I shared this already, that we don't have like a, my old house, I had a mailbox out the curb. The new house, it's centralized mailbox. It's actually kind of similar to what we have here, but on like a post somewhere in the neighborhood. So I have to walk to go get our mail, which ain't a big deal because I don't get that much mail. You know, like eight, like Amazon, like if I have something delivered here at the apartment from Amazon, they just drop it off the front of the door, which I've done several times already. Including buying my wife an iPad Pro, is a refurbed iPad Pro that I bought on Amazon, had it delivered here. You just dropped off on a porch. So the good thing I'm here most of the time.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah.
We have some concerns because there's been a lot of porch piracy around here, but,
right.
Somebody's always here. And so we know as soon as something gets dropped off and we just go out and get it.
Yep. They at least take, they still like, when they used to do that in the house, they still do here. They'll take a picture of it. So I'll see my apartment door with the package sitting on it. And I'll be like, oh, I gotta
get home.
Or
somebody else's apartment door.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I have just realized that we've been living in here for a month now, which is just hard for me to fathom, I guess.
But you're not working from home anymore, are you?
Oh, yeah. I've always worked from home. I've been working from home for 6 years.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So now, technically,
I miss people.
Yeah, I was going to say, COVID-wise, our county is in the red for whatever
it
is.
I miss gyms.
But, yeah, technically, seeing that, it's funny you mentioned that. I got a key combo, and I can go to the gym anytime, but I still don't because my apartment complex has one. And most of the time, I can probably be alone over there.
And just bring some disinfectant with you, and you'd be fine.
Well, it's 24/7, so I can go over now after this if I wanted to.
Yeah, but you won't.
Not tonight. No, I'm beat. I had a long day, dude.
How big, sir? How big is it? What do they have?
It's fucking mediocre.
Yeah, it's an apartment gym. It's gonna have enough to get you by, and that's about it.
Yeah, it's got a treadmill. I think it's got some free weights, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all you need is a bench, baby. Press that bench.
No, all you need is free weights. There's a difference.
No, I'd rather have an arc trainer, but that's just me. And I could probably try and see if there's a Planet Fitness closer.
Oh, there's a lot of things I'd rather have, but all you need is free weights.
You need a Bowflex, right?
No, you need free weights.
Bowflex. Next thing you know, so he's going to tell me to get the Tony, what's his face's gazelle? Tony Little.
Oh, remember Tony, that? No, the Total Gym from
Chuck Norris. Name?
Chuck Norris. There you go.
Yeah.
That's right. Total.
Chuck Norris is the only person that COVID can infect. I keyed. You know what I miss? I miss going to the movies. Sounds stupid, but I miss going to the movies.
Well, you'll miss it more next year.
Yeah, because there's probably not going to be that many movie theaters left.
Yeah, probably that. But
AMC's like all the releases, shut down.
All the releases have gotten pushed to next year, and so you're looking at like an absolutely insane amount of releases of what's supposed to be good movies, like February through midsummer.
Oh yeah, like yeah, that's right. The new Top Gun was already supposed to be out.
Yeah, well, the new Fast and Furious, what, 9 now? It was supposed to have been out.
Okay, Wonder Woman was supposed to have been out.
But Wonder Woman was supposed to have been out.
Yeah.
Hey, and Fast and Furious is at least
Wonder
good
Woman
cheap
or Wonder
fun.
Woman 1989.
1980 was it? Is it 1989 or is it 1981?
I don't remember. I'm fucking
I don't
old.
Either.
1984, isn't it?
That might be a 1984.
Well, did you see that you could rent out the entire AMC theater for like $100?
I did see that, actually.
That almost sounds worth it.
Because I'm like, now, the kids we go in. To the movies. With, I take this all my kids to the movies, and we're dropping like at least $100.
Right, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. I doubt that includes the food, though. So you'd be spending $100 right. plus food.
Right. Well, no, like the catering costs start at like $200 or something like that.
Wow.
But that yes. would almost be worth it.
I mean, if you could, there's a charge too if you want to bring in your own food. But if mm-hmm. you like, I'm just going to go in and see the latest movie for $100. Well, it's not it's also when I read into it, it's like you can watch like just the $100 is like the low tier and it's like older releases. Right. So if you want something newer, you're going to pay a little
like more. You could probably watch Endgame in the theater again for $100.
Don't get me wrong.
Endgame was pretty good. But, I mean, it wasn't the best movie, but yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was good. I mean, it was better than the second Avengers movie.
Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron was horrible. I didn't like it.
Age of Garbage.
Yeah. James Spader's Ultron didn't really work for me. They could have picked a different voice actor for Ultron.
They could have picked a better script.
Yeah. It just reminds me. I watched. Oh yeah. Since at least Dan and I are 80s kids, you want to watch a movie for free? Back to School is on YouTube for free.
Oh, that was a good movie.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah. And he also. No,
and
it
Robert
wasn't...
Downey Jr. is in that too.
Very young. Well, yeah. I'm trying to think
like,
of that other movie.
Like pre-drugs, Robert Downey Jr. Actually, no, probably drugs, Robert Downey Jr.
Didn't Dangerfield also do a movie called The Freshman?
No. I don't know. But you see, I watched that, and then I looked up some old Sam Kinison clips.
And I was born in 81, so...
Yeah, that's old. You know, he was, like, in his 60s when he did that movie.
I vaguely remember the 80s.
You smelled the 80s.
Yeah.
We're old,
I don't
man.
See I know Rodney Dangerfield wasn't in The Freshman, but he...
No, he wasn't.
I thought he was in another kind of...
Where he went back to school and... Because The Freshman was the one where he was the diver, right? Or the former diver?
No, that was Back to School.
Back to School.
The triple Lindy.
The Freshman, it wasn't Rodney, it was...
Robin Williams?
Francis... No. The Freshman. Stars Marlon Brando and Matthew Broderick. Where they got the iguana or the Komodo dragon or whatever the hell it was.
Okay, I know. I think I've seen this. It was a long time ago.
Super long time ago.
It was weird. I thought that movie was older than 1990, though.
I thought it was,
Yeah, well, that's just like The Hunt for Red October. I thought that was an 80s movie, but it came out in 1990. The book was in the 80s.
Who?
The Hunt for Red October book.
Oh, the book. Like I thought movie. You were talking about the movie Hook for a second.
No, that was also horrible.
That wasn't that bad. It was Robin Williams.
Arr. Jumanji.
Yeah, we're in level 20 now, right?
Of course, you're up to, what, the third Jumanji movie now?
Yeah, you know what? Whenever I think of Jumanji, I always think of the original.
Well, I think The Rock did pretty good.
No, I know. I keep forgetting that those. I've seen one and two of that. I've seen one. I don't know if I've seen two yet. I really enjoy. No, that's right. I saw one, but two wasn't available when we wanted right after we watched one. So, I'd like to see two. I thought it was pretty good.
But then there was probably one of the most awful video game based movies ever. That was the Rampage movie.
I did not see that.
That's good, like B movie fun.
Oh, it's definitely B movie. Yeah, I was gonna say it's B movie fun, but it's like you watch it and you're like, how in the world is this related to the freaking video game?
And then there's that the version of Die Hard that The Rock did. What was that called? The Tower, the where he was stuck in a skyscraper. Skyscraper, that's what it was.
Skyscraper.
Was that a remake? Wasn't there?
It wasn't supposed to be a remake of Die Hard, but it was freaking Die Hard.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't a remake of the 1929 movie, 1928 movie?
Just like The Force Awakens is a...
It might have been, but it was Die Hard.
It's just like The Force Awakens is a remake of A New Hope.
is this what it was about? A man pretends to be interested in his fellow steelworker's sweetheart in order to help the man recover his spirit and come out of a depression?
No.
Okay, so then it wasn't a remake of the 1928.
It was a remake of Die Hard.
Okay.
Now, see...
Guy gets stuck in a skyscraper with his family... A bunch of terrorists are trying to take over and steal some shit and grab his wife and kid in this instance instead of just wife. But yeah.
But did you see the Adam Sandler movie Pixels?
I did not.
No.
Wait. Some people hated it. I kind of enjoyed it, but...
I think the last Sandler movie I watched was Mr. Deeds.
For some reason, I thought I did see Pixels, but now I can't remember anything about it.
That's okay. It's where the aliens attacked us, and they used video game characters to do it. So they got Adam Sandler and what's his face from
Man. See, I know what the movie's about.
Right.
I thought I saw it, but I can't remember other than that, like the trailer synopsis of it. I can't remember.
It's so maybe okay. I didn't see it. Yeah, it's all right. Well, that's just like now you get people who absolutely hated Ready Player One because it didn't
exactly match the book word for word.
Exactly match the book. I liked both the book and the movie.
I did too.
For different reasons.
enjoyed the movie, but I was disappointed it did not have
a walkthrough
of the Tomb of Horrors.
Yeah, and right. You really understand that they're limited by time and extremely limited by licensing, which is why they were so lucky to get the director that they did.
Not good enough for me, Joe.
It wasn't good enough for a lot of folk.
And not only that, let's face it, the normies wouldn't get the D&D stuff. They wouldn't get any of that. The video game stuff they get. Because that's fairly mainstream, but Dungeons and Dragons
and they never really less went that on the arcade style stuff, and more, well, except for the couple parts towards the end, but more on the movie type stuff,
right? So. Did I wish that the first challenge was the Lich? Yes. Was the race that was actually the first challenge enjoyable? Oh, hell yeah. It was awesome. I loved that. That was one of my favorite scenes of the movie.
What threw me is after I watched that, I'm like, I don't remember that from the book.
Right. Yeah.
Wasn't the same challenge.
But
yeah.
It was the same idea, though.
No, it was. Right. It was. But I was like, wait, when did that happen in the book? I'm like,
it didn't. See, I think it's why people didn't like it, because the challenges, they were all pretty. Well, the only challenge that was at all similar to the book was the last one.
Finding the Easter egg.
Right. The first Easter egg in Adventure.
But that was different too, because it was the Sixers that got to that particular game first and were trying to get through it.
They still did.
But not in the book. That's not what happened in the book. And it wasn't an arcade version of Adventure. It was the original Crash 80 version?
It wasn't in a movie either. No, it was a 2600, dude.
Okay, 2600. Okay. Yeah,
because yeah, it was Atari. You're right. Now, the second challenge in the book was Pac-Man. That's how he got the quarter.
No, I'm talking about the final challenge in the book.
Right. The final challenge in the book.
And the second challenge in the book was not Pac-Man. It was something he did while trying to figure out what the second challenge was. The second challenge was, what was that?
Pac-Man. It was Pac-Man.
No, the second challenge was not Pac-Man. The second challenge was them.
Sure.
The abandoned house. Yes, I'm sure. The Pac-Man happened during the second challenge, but it was because he didn't know where to go for the second challenge. And I'm trying. I should Zork.
Okay.
It was freaking Zork.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I know it wasn't. I know it wasn't The Shining, which is what it was in the movie.
Right.
For the second challenge. Right. But
each of the challenges had movies attached to them and were a part of the challenge.
True.
None of them was The Shining.
Right.
But that was still a thing where you had to go through and play through the movie as a character.
But the quarter he got on the Pac-Man machine in the book was replaced by the quarter that
the librarian gave him.
The librarian, which actually was Record what's keeper. His face.
Yeah.
What was his name? Dang it, why can't I remember his name?
Oh, I won't be able to remember his name either.
It was Simon Banks' character in the movie.
Yeah, he was the main guy that built everything. He was his partner.
Right.
Helped him build it. But yeah, the Pac-Man was not a challenge.
I might have to read the book again. But like I said, I enjoyed both for different reasons. They were both very enjoyable to me. I think the biggest reason that I liked the movie was just all the callbacks to the shit I grew up with.
And then the third challenge was actually being in a video game.
Mm.
Where he had something dragon. Black Dragon. Black Dragon was the third challenge. He had to physically play through Black Dragon.
Yep, but yeah, like I said, and that just makes me wonder. I know they're planning a sequel to Ready Player One. Yeah.
Well, Wheaton said he was doing the reading for it.
Right, but it's not. It's going to be a sequel of the movie, not a sequel of the book. Which
well, there's a sequel of the book.
Right. What's the sequel of the book? I can't remember.
Ready Player Two.
Oh, is it okay? But it's not going to be. It's not going to be the same. It's going to be obviously going to be different.
Obviously.
Yep. Because it wouldn't make sense if you watch them together. But. All right. I think.
Yeah, we got to start wrapping this up.
Yep.
Good night, all.
All right.
I gotta play out our promo. Our one promo that we have left to play.
It still has 5150 in it?
No, I don't play that one anymore.
Yeah, we were asked to not play that anymore.
Finally.
Oh yeah, here we go. Dun dun dun. Alright, we'll see everybody next week. Have a safe and happy week. And thank you, everybody, for coming on. Countdown to Thanksgiving. Here we go. Fire yum, off. Yum.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
Oh my God, it's Hacker Public Radio!
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
And you played, at the beginning of the show, you played Peggy talking about his good sweatpants, and I actually have good sweatpants now.
No, but it seems much more appropriate now. I was thinking about mentioning it at the beginning of the show. But the whole sweatpants thing seems very appropriate these days.
That's like the daily uniform, right?
Well, I got wind pants on today.
I got shorts. Actually, I wear shorts more now.
That's cooling off a little bit, so.
I'll wear shorts when it's 30 degrees out because I never leave the house during the day.
Nah, I get cold.
Although.
Bruised with my arthritis.
Since I moved to this apartment, that's all I want to do is go out.
Well, you're living in a much smaller place with the same number of people.
Well, it's not that. It's a little smaller, but the biggest thing that annoys me is the size of the kitchen, plus some moron who decided to design this place where they put the laundry room, where the I wouldn't call it a laundry room, the laundry closet. Okay, that's what I'll call it. Where the washer and dryer is in the kitchen, right across from the refrigerator. I'm like, that's stupid. But
is it an over-under?
No, it's not that. At least it's side by side. They're old school. The stove is new, but it's still old school, and it's got the coils on it, too.
Cool.
It works. It works.
It does the job.
That's about it.
For the next 3 years while your home's being built.
Shh, no, not gonna take that long. Not gonna take long. No. 5 more months of this shit.
Yeah, you definitely need to read Ready Player One again. Like 50 times.
Yeah.
Alright, I gotta stop the recording here so I can put it out. Put it out like a fire.
Then I'm gonna have to watch the movie again because I think I've only seen it like once.
Oh, Ready Player One?
Yeah.
You must really love the book.
Well, it's gotten easier in recent times to pick up decent quality audiobooks.
Right.
And I have reread some series several times because I couldn't find any other audiobooks worth having. I mean, I'm going through the Wheel of Time series again, and I probably read that series a good, I go through it at least once a year, and for at least 10 years now, sometimes twice a year. And then I've read the Dresden Files books quite a lot, because I'll go through the whole series over again whenever a new book comes out. And there's 16 books now.
Now, I have the sequel to the Hunger Games series. I've had it for a while. I haven't actually read it. It's been sitting on top of my dresser.
Don't. It's garbage. Everything by that author is garbage.
Well,
you know. I've read the books. They're garbage.
They're not that bad.
Nope, they're garbage. Read the Alex Veris novels instead.
At least I didn't say I watched the stupid, what was the fucking vampire shit?
Twilight?
God, yes.
You know, I made it...
Sparkly vampires.
I made it about 6 pages into the first book. And then got rid of it.
Yeah. Actually, it's a prequel book, I think.
Yeah, the Hunger Games series had a prequel book attached to it about one of the commentators.
But I can't say, because then that would ruin any topics I have for the show. Right, Joe? Get out of here.
I had some Indian on Monday, and it was good, too.
I had Chinese today.
And today was chilly.
Wait, what kind of Indian
did
you have?
I'll switch my other computer in just a minute. But
no, you sound fine.
I wanted to check on some things.
Yeah, you sound fine.
What'd you have for what type of Indian food you have?
I had a
orange chicken. Oh,
well, he had Chinese Indian food. I had chicken tikka masala and some chicken keema stuffed samosas.
Oh.
Man, they were good. All of them were good. I'm still trying to figure out what the green sauce is, but they had like 2 kind of sauces that I assume were with the samosas. They had a green one and some other one that was that I liked a lot better. I don't even know what either of those were called.
Was the green sauce kind of minty?
Maybe.
Yeah. So what did the red sauce look like? Or was it a red sauce? I'm sorry. I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was kind of like a red sauce. Yeah, it kind of felt a little bit like almost like barbecue sauce, but not.
Yeah, oh man, I love both of those. And then there's a third one, which is kind of like an orange sauce, orange colored, light red orange with chopped onions in it. And oh, I love that.
And now I may have to give them a call and ask them if, because they normally they have a buffet too. And I don't know if the buffet is open now because of the virus. Some aren't. It depends. And a lot of them have changed it up so that where you're not spooning the food out, that there's somebody on the other side of the counter that's doing it for you. And then you do the plate. So, some places, you know, the buffets are just either gone or going away or, you know, or just not open because of the virus. But this was delivered. It was pretty awesome. It came via, I think I got an Uber Eats. I can't remember, but it was good. It was good. I have to try and get me some paneer next time I order some.
It's a mint cilantro chutney is what it's called.
Okay.
I love that stuff.
I can't have any chutney. It tastes like puke.
Oh, really?
It was okay. I just didn't like it as much. Yeah.
I don't know if it's an ingredient they use. It just smells like puke.
Right.
Do you like cilantro?
I do like cilantro. Okay. I like Indian food in general, but chutney, any fucking chutney I've ever had, it's disgusting.
Yep. It was good. I'll try it again. I'll probably get some either some tandoori chicken or something different. See, and this is, you can tell that this one is like not like a pretend Indian food, you know, because it's all chicken and lamb and vegetarian stuff and nothing like I actually have friends who've made the keema with beef instead of the lamb, but This place didn't, of course, do that. So, but we'll have to try some of their other stuff.
Where'd you get the Chinese food from, Joe?
There you go.
Shit, I don't know. The wife ordered it.
Oh, is it like a just like a takeout place, or was it?
Panda oh, they delivered.
Express? Yeah, it wasn't Panda Express. That wasn't Panda Express. Okay.
No, it wasn't Panda Express.
You know what? You know, we say that, but I'm not gonna lie. I like getting Panda Express every once in a while. I mean, it's it's not the best Chinese food, but if that's all that's around, it'll do. That's exactly what I want to say. If that's all that's around, that'll do. Besides, I really like they have a walnut.
It's like 2 a.m. at the bar.
Yes. Well, it's like pizza. Even bad pizza is not too bad, you know? Unless it's Little Caesars.
Bad pizza is bad pizza.
Right, but bad pizza is better than no pizza. We got hardware to talk about today.
Yes, we do. Reminds me. No, you said bad pizza, and that reminds me the other day 7-Eleven had that deal where you could get
that's bad.
Two full-size pizzas for $2. Yeah.
That's not worth $2.
it was pretty bad.
If you want to get cheap, talk about like Mad World 2020. If we're going to go down that road.
Yeah, there you go. it's the one thing when I drank. That's the one thing that I ever drank that I only ever drank once because it was freaking horrible that time.
I drank that garbage in college when we had fucking no money.
When you were desperate to get drunk for whatever reason.
And I saw this YouTube video of Arnold Schwarzenegger's diet, and evidently he drinks Radler, and it's beer mixed with lemonade.
Ugh. Nasty. Nasty, 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 nasty.
That's a lemon shandy, right?
Something like that.
A lemon, no thank you.
Well, he's also, 70 years old, and he's had his second heart surgery?
Yeah.
It looks like an old fat guy.
The apartment complex is trying to do things to get you involved in things, and it's like, I just want to fucking live here, okay?
I don't want to know my neighbors. Figure it out.
Well, they're having at least this one's semi-altruistic, and they're having a food drive for November for Thanksgiving, so that one at least is semi-altruistic, you know. But when you donate something, they're going to put your name in for a $50 gift card, and it's like, oh, okay, I see how you are.
This thing has been printing for more than 10 hours now. Hopefully it finishes printing. And finishes well. Well, it's basically a holder for a PSP. And you just slot PSP into it, and it kind of gives it handles. So that way the grip's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, a little less cramped. But
I designed and printed a little holder for, I have two of those battery pack things, you know, to charge your phone with. And I wanted to organize them, keep them together. So I basically just made a little holder for those.
It works. Well, this is my second attempt at printing this. The last one got through about 6 hours or so and then started coming off the base.
Oh.
So, it's a 10.5-hour print. But, now it's a 10.5-hour print. It was a 9.5-hour print before. I switched it up. I made the supports a little bit thicker, bumped it up from 15% to 20%. I lowered the infill percentage from 30 to 20, but increased the infill width. So,
okay.
And I slowed down the infill sprint, our print speed and the support print speed as well, just so I'd get a little bit better layer adhesion, and hopefully it would actually print the infill on top of each other. It's still looking pretty choppy for infill, but it looks like it's going to finish okay.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a it's large... I would hate for it to get ruined at the end there, because that's a lot of filament.